Hey, this is Tim McKernan, and I am here with Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and I have been a longtime Design Air client. What separates you guys from everybody else?
It's becoming more common for companies to just get their foot in the door. They try to come up with different ways to upsell. They try to see how much they can make off of a customer as opposed to, hey, we're in there to do a service. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it for a fair price.
I don't know how many emails I have received from our listeners who experienced the incredible customer service Design Air Heating and Cooling provides. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling online at designairservice.com.
Yes.
Welcome back to TMA, and it's presented to you by Brown and Crouppen. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. On my right is Douglas Elvin Vaughn. On my left is Michael Wellington. Directly in front of me is Darren Atkins. And in the Horton Watkins studio is Jackson Bennett. Burkett Ken Strode is back in studio and is in a chair, if you're watching on YouTube, right behind the Plowhawk. And it's perfect timing here, Doug, because in this 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be having the Munganast Daily Fantasy Sports Showdown as it's now on...
Okay. Now on to Carnoustie.
Augusta National for the Masters. Jeremy Rutherford at 9 o'clock. We'll ask him a question about the Blues for a minute, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Because I think the Blues have moved on. Have you moved
on? They appear
on
to. 5 points down with four to play?
Fight. Blue
that's,
note.
That's not going to happen for them.
Beat.
You think of all those points...
Kings and...
They left on the table. They're playing some of the worst teams in the league.
To some of the butt asses.
Yeah, it'd be right there. Just win a couple of those games against last place teams, and you're right there.
The Kings, for the record, lost last night, so they're at. They didn't pick up anything on the Blues, but it's gonna. Michael, I would describe it as about a 70-foot putt. Doug, would you call this? It's about a 70-foot putt.
I don't know if it's that close.
Oh no, it's a 7-iron.
It's probably you got a hole out from about 130 yards out.
What's your stock 7? Flying?
170.
Oh, you bastard. Oh, you bastard.
Jackson has the highest ceiling of all of the members of this dais, but he's got a...
In what?
In golf. And probably height. But he's got a compression issue. Jackson, tell Michael how far you're hitting.
If I really goose it. About $1.55.
Explain goosing.
Clip that off.
You know, like I really get...
You hit it in the middle of the face?
Well, yeah, a little elbow. I find the face, and I hit it what I think is pretty clean.
And it goes how far?
About $1.55 as the crow flies.
Are you sure the clubs are, you know, have the proper loft on them? Because you're a young, strapping gentleman. You should be hitting a 7-iron weight for... You should be hitting a 7-iron 180.
Oh, ideally, yeah, I got a real issue. I believe
if we went in the simulator, we would see an open club face. That's what.
Okay,
I'm
would
pretty confident.
Explain part
that.
Of it.
I talked to Michael before the show that I'm working on the bowed wrist. Try to get that club.
That you're
face.
Working on the bowed wrist.
What the hell's the bowed wrist?
Trying to get that club face more square at the top of the backswing. So all I have to do is drop the hands and complete the swing, and hopefully we'll get some shaft lean out of that.
Don't say shaft lean.
These are all the things you need to compress the golf ball. I know what I need to do, except I can't execute.
Maybe we need to spend some time together on the practice ground.
Oh, that'd be huge for you. This Michael Wellington's a fine instructor. He just doesn't care to instruct.
Time and place, Michael. Time and place. I'm there.
What's that again?
It's all about compression.
There you go, Doug.
Dynamite dropping.
Okay. I had a session yesterday with Steve and Wildwin, the chairman.
Who I think, if I had to bet... is going to win the J. Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. I think he, and you might be going, what in the hell are you talking about? Keep in mind, he's getting like 20 strokes.
I'm not familiar with the field, so I can't really...
It's a Shishawali tournament.
Right, so I'm not going to really...
It's a great... you haven't seen players.
I'm not going to take a stab at who I think is going to win.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, anytime you have a net event with strangers... I mean, what could possibly go
pencil whip?
Pencil whipping, indeed. Before we do the Munganast Daily Fantasy Sports Showdown, Doug wants to tell people about Collier & Thompson, the sponsor of our phone lines.
Well, it's where you go to turn your house into a show place. Collier & Thompson does it right. I mean, if you want to turn your home into the Taj Mahal of town and country,
do it, yeah.
If you want it to become the Mar-a-Lago of Maplewood,
do it, yeah.
This is where you go. You go to Collier & Thompson, and they can take that outdated kitchen or bathroom and turn it into a show place. They'll turn it into the White House of Wentzville. And you'll say, hey, I've been living right here in a gold mine my whole life. You think, I got to move. My house is run down. It's old. It's dated. You don't. Collier & Thompson can turn that house into a showplace. They have a commitment to quality. They've got some of the best craftsmen in the area. They've got all the electricians and the carpenters and tuck pointers. I don't know if they have tuck pointers. I don't know if they do the outside of your house. But they got the people that do the inside. They got the plumbers and the painters. They've got everything else, and they've got people that do it right. This is not a nickel and dime operation. This is where you go when you want it done the best. This is the quality place to go in St. Louis. Collier & Thompson, they've been redoing houses since the 1950s. Carolyn Bird and Bob Strati are both masters at what they do. They'll get the design going and then bring in their craftsmen to turn your house into the showplace that you would like it to be. Their showroom has more than 10,000 square feet of displays. You can look at more than 20-plus kitchens and bathrooms and any number of appliances you want to check out. They've got it all right there at Collier & Thompson. Their showroom is on Baldwin in Manchester next to Uncle Bill's Pancake House. Go and have yourself a stack of flapjacks and then go see what you want to do with your kitchen cabinets. That's my suggestion to you if you want to turn your home into the Biltmore Mansion of Baldwin. Collier & Thompson can do that for you and their commitment to quality. Collier & Thompson, come home to quality online at collierandthompson.com, collierandthompson.yesplease.
Do you want to support the EDF Group as a sponsor of TMA? Well, it's real simple. Do you have a fire extinguisher at your work? The answer is yes, you certainly do. So please email the EDF Group at fire@theedfgroup.com so a technician can come out and explain to your team how the EDF Group can save your company money. Again, that email address is fire@theedfgroup.com. The EDF Group is hot and will prevent your facility from having hot fires. Experience the EDF Group difference. Learn more at theedfgroup.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time.
What was it?
Ken Strode unveiling his Masters roster, going heads up against Doug Vaughn. Michael Wellington giving his feedback as the field is selected. Iggy, you won last week. The tee box is yours, sir.
Okay.
I had to change one because I brought it up and it said it had a question mark next to Jordan Spieth. Did he get hurt during practice? Or
Michael, I know you were on the range yesterday. What did you notice? Was he bowing his wrist?
As far as I know, he's talked about some wrist injuries, but it's the Masters. He'll probably be okay. He's pretty good there.
If he's questionable, and maybe he's not 100%, so I took him off.
Beware of the injured golfer.
Yeah, it's true. Huh. He plays so well here.
So who did you pick?
Thank you.
I got a few 7,000s, a few 8,000s, a few 9,000s.
With the names are what we're interested in.
He screwed me last week.
He screwed you.
Well, yeah. He was four strokes into the cut with five holes to go and went double bogey,
idiot.
Over the cut.
Who was that?
I think he bounces back this week. I'm going with Harris English.
Harris English.
You like the Harris English pick?
Bold, no. Sorry.
You didn't like
No offense, I just don't like the pick.
Okay.
Doug, now you get to see the process, okay. Michael. It's unbelievable.
Especially coming off a double bogey bogey finish.
All right, let's see who I got. Russell Henley.
Russell Henley is a play that is kind of getting a lot of attention this week.
Is it?
He was in the mix last year on Sunday, and he struck me as a guy who was a little nervy with his putts on those greens while in the mix. Michael, thoughts on the great ball striker, Russell Henley?
Traditionally a good putter. Georgia guy, like Harris English, another Georgia guy. I think Henley played pretty well last week, so I got to say, out of those two picks, I'd lean towards Henley just because he's playing
nice
better.
Pick, Doug.
Yeah, okay, good pick by me. Bad pick by you, Gee.
Well, that's good because I'm going in the $7,200 range, and I'm going with Russell Henley.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute, you're picking him too? Can you do that in this?
No. Well, I can switch if he wants.
You can switch.
Well, I picked this yesterday.
I just picked mine 2 seconds ago.
Well, and you can pick another one if you
like. Well, you can change, too.
Well, that was better than Harris English, I felt like.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, wow, Michael. Here is a guy who talked a big game about Augusta National, but really hasn't played well there since, an amateur event, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that? I'm
not sure if he's ever played well there. I feel like his short game is not the kind of short game that excels at Augusta. You know, he plays those clubs that are really long, and I feel like his touch is not the kind of touch you need to win Augusta. I'm not a big fan of that pick.
I couldn't help it.
It was out of the box. I get it. Don't worry about it.
He can overpower that course, Doug.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Did you like the pick that he just made?
No, I wouldn't have picked him.
Mr. Licks with a thought. Oh, this isn't Masters related. He just says, can they do anything about all the vinyl siding in Warson Woods? That's from Mr. Lick.
No, that's not Collier and Thompson's thing. It's not vinyl siding, no. They could fix the kitchens and baths there for sure.
Iggy, go ahead.
At 8,000, he's been playing well this year.
Who is it?
You're so impatient.
Well, I just want to know the name.
What are you waiting for?
I like how I picked the guy. Go through the process.
So dramatic.
But no one cares, really.
He seems to play well here. If he can get his putting down and has a good putting week, if he can go...
Who the hell is it?
Pull the curtain back.
If he can be in the top 10 in strokes game putting, I think he's got a shot this week. Shane Lowry.
I love the Shane Lowry pick. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
I
love the Shane Lowry pick, Iggy. Okay.
Success in the Ryder Cup can also lead to success in majors.
Nope. Sure it can.
I like that pick.
Iggy, nice.
Savvy pick. Matthew Pavone.
I gotta tell you, I like this play. I think this, okay. If you were giving me a sneaker play in the 6,000s, and I realize most people don't know who's costing what, it would be Matthew Pavone. I had no idea who he was when he went out at Torrey Pines this year, but he has played well in a number of events. He won at Farmers and then finished third at Pebble Beach. Michael, are you familiar with the Frenchman?
Yeah, I mean, I know he won Torrey, but I wouldn't bet on him at Augusta.
First timers, Doug.
First time.
You're going to be wide-eyed. You're going to be adrenalized. You're probably going to be exhausted by the time you tee it up on Thursday.
But you've always said the French are sociopaths.
Why have you always said that? Every time you've been in here, you've said that.
Just kind of what I noticed.
And now it's on to Ken.
I wanted to put a LIV guy in here because if you look at the leaderboard last year, I think four of the top five were LIV golfers, which gave Greg Norman a boner. If I'm going to pick somebody from the LIV Tour, I'm going to pick Cam Smith.
So who did you pick? Cam Smith? Okay.
You got to like that pick.
Yeah, I like what he's doing
world class.
Here. I mean, he went contrarian with the Harris English, but you haven't had a better putter, I believe, on those Augusta Greens over the last 5 years than Cam Smith. So, Doug, think about that when you're making this pick Smith.
Sam Burns.
Sam Burns, a great player, but no top 10s in any majors. Michael, how do you explain it?
Great putter. Yeah, I don't know. He cuts everything. It's more of a right-hander draw.
Course, I don't know. Doug, you like to go right to left when you play Augusta?
Sure, absolutely.
I like him.
I can't help but draw the ball.
I like Sam Burns as a dude, but I don't know. I wouldn't pick him. But of course, you're going out of a shoebox. So
why do you like him as a dude?
And he's a good man. He's a good guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he went to LSU. I know some people that have been around him. Like he's a good guy. But I wouldn't pick him if I. Maybe if I.
Well, I'm sorry.
Maybe you shouldn't pick out of a box.
Well, that's the whole game.
He used to have a great mustache.
Why don't you put a lefty on your team, Doug?
Because I don't get the pick.
Mm-hmm. I like Sam Burns.
Iggy, you have another pick for the players.
I think he could win this week. I mean.
Well, that's why you would pick him.
No, I pick a lot of guys. They need to make the cut and finish high. Don't necessarily think they can win.
But you hope they can win?
Well, I don't think Harris English can win. I don't think.
But you hope they can.
Lowry can win, but I think they can get top 10s.
Well, you should have picked
And then I'll pick a winner, and then I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh. Wow.
A lot of chirping.
He's won here before, but he's playing so well this year. His short game is just unbelievable. His iron play is unbelievable. I'm going with Hideki.
I like that play.
Been there before.
God.
It's a good pick.
Why, Iggy? I'm telling you.
We'll see if it's
Does he have enough for Scheffler? I'm trying to do the math in my head. I can't imagine he has enough for
Short on Scheffler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's the decision when you're building rosters.
Wyndham Clark.
Wow, wow, wow. If you're not going Scheffler, go for Scheffler Light, the U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark. Michael, who's playing better than Scottie Scheffler? No one. Who's playing relatively close to Scottie Scheffler, if there's such a thing, in 2024? Wyndham Clark. But he's a first-timer also.
Boy, is he talented, and the confidence level is at all-time high. He won the U.S. Open. He shoots 60 in the final round at Pebble. You got to like him to finish high, but to win, I don't know, a first-timer. I don't think a first-timer wins.
First-timer doesn't
keep doing it. I can't help it. I'm blindly pulling these names.
Yeah. It's a solid pick. I don't know if he can win, but it's a solid pick. He's definitely playing at a super high level.
All right.
So who is Iggy going to pick?
He might pick Wyndham Clark. Roars. I got actually
one hint. As soon as I give the hint, you'll know who it is.
Jackson just said he thinks it's Rory. I know
he
you can't
what?
Hear that.
What did he say?
He said Roars.
No, he's got to win eventually. He's got to win a major eventually.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Just tell us who the guy is.
Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
Michael, there's so something about putting your head on the pillow at night, on a Saturday in particular, Friday if you're working with the PIF, and having a lead. Xander has had trouble with that night's sleep.
I just don't think he's a good enough putter to win there. Doug, he does not putt
bad
well.
Bad pick, Iggy.
He strikes it great, but I just if you watch him putt, he struggles with the putter badly.
Yeah, okay. We don't like guys who struggle with the flat blade. Cameron Smith.
Oh, what a response.
So we're going 4-on-4, Doug.
Okay.
Unless you want to pick somebody else.
Unless you want to change.
No.
I think you should change, both of you.
No,
I can't have the same players.
I share your opinion on that, but I just kind of sit here.
You can just pick another
one. Okay, Iggy, you change Henley and Smith, and I'll change Henley and Smith.
No, I'm keeping my two players. I'm just giving you the option.
You're not bending.
I don't care if you keep them. Then you got a less chance of beating me 4-on-4.
I don't know that.
I'm giving you the option.
I got a better chance because I've got two players that you have because I'm picking blindly, and you're doing research.
Well,
so I'm negating two of the people you've done research on.
Wow, what a counter.
If you put your four up against my four, you're not going to win. I'm giving you a chance to change
it. We'll find
out. I think
this
is a meta play by Iggy. I think Iggy's scared.
Yeah, Iggy's on the fifth level like Ivy.
Really is.
Are we done picking? Doug, you're firm on your team?
It seems like there's a negotiation going on right in front of us.
Well, how much money do I have left, Jackson? Do you know?
Yeah, I do. So if you didn't take Cam Smith, your last pick, you have $9,600. The best player you can get is who I think will finish top five, Joaquin Niemann.
Oh, do you call him Jocko?
He is dangerous.
Okay, you want me to take Niemann instead of either Henley?
Yeah, I mean, this is the Masters we're doing, the millionaire maker.
Oh, Iggy just said you can't do that.
Okay. I don't think he had enough money to drop Henley and put, because Henley's only 72.
Not Henley. He was dropping Cam Smith, keeping Henley, but adding Joaquin. So you play 5-on-5.
Okay.
I like that point.
Do it, Doug.
I think going
okay,
like
I'm that? Doing it.
There yeah. it is!
We're in the millionaire maker. Like it's Neiman. $10 entry, so I say.
Yeah, you're only going up against 450,000 other rosters.
Yeah,
so you're,
so this should win.
And I'm looking at that roster, clearly the best one. There's no way
I would
other
think.
Than 449,000.
So what did he do? He took out
Cam Smith and put in Niemann.
All right. So you're keeping Henley?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Doug, team and kind of nice.
Okay. We don't know if they're nice or not. That's the whole point of this game. You don't. You think it's good, and then you see the leaderboard, and you don't know half the names up there.
Let me throw this real quick at Welly and Tim. This is my other roster that I'm playing on my game. But
you're excluding me and Plowsy and Jackson right now?
You guys can chime in, too.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I didn't say Jackson.
I got some email to catch up on.
I didn't say Jackson.
Plowhawk's going to tend to some other business.
I didn't say Jackson because if he responds, I can't hear him anyway. So that's why I didn't throw him in there. Adam Scott, Thigala, Fitzpatrick, Finau, Zalatoris, Cantley.
I don't like it personally.
I love Thigala.
That's the one that I like.
And the reason I love him is because I've seen him play 36 holes. I've been in his group, and he putts it like a demon. And he's also one of these guys who is not mechanical. He's very creative, and I think that lends itself to good things happening at a place like Augusta. Like, I think that's why Spieth is good there. I wouldn't be surprised if Thigala won.
I think he was top 10 last year in his first time playing.
Well, and he got the lead in Napa. Is that where he won?
Yeah,
and he was very comfortable with the lead once he got it.
He was comfortable with the waste management.
Yeah,
he's got a really bad break on a great tee shot on, what was it, 17?
Yeah, he, I think, is a very dangerous man. The Adam Scott thing I like because, you know, he's been there. He's putting a little bit better. Who are your other ones?
Fitzpatrick, Finau, Cantlay.
Finau. And the one I'm thinking about is Zalatoris. I mean,
Finau with the putter is just frightening. I mean,
you're just bringing two guys in. I mean, one on each. In my opinion, I don't know what yours is on it. You're more focused on Schauffele and the putter. I'm more. I just think there are some guys, and I know Johnny Miller used to hammer this point home, and it pissed some people off who are familiar with the game. The average viewer doesn't care, who have a tough time playing with a lead. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Schauffele and Finau are both in that category. Finau's been able to close it out, but not at this. Kind of.
Yeah, I just don't like Finau on really fast greens. I don't like Schauffele really on any greens. but I love Thigala. Adam Scott can do it. You know, Adam Scott, he's a little bit older. He's been there. He knows where to miss there. So I think that's a big advantage. So I like that team.
I had to put a 70.
I like that team better than your other team.
Wellington, Thigala seems like the best of guys.
Yeah, really happy guy, funny guy.
Were you caddying for Nagel and he was in your
group? No, actually I caddied one time for a guy named Nick Mason in the Corn Ferry event in Louisiana. They don't even have the event anymore, but we got paired with Thigala and he was like fresh out of Pepperdine. And I just remember thinking, man, this guy putts it so good. And then he just took off after that. This is like 3 or 4 years ago.
Can we get past hearing about who the good dudes are? Who are the jack wagons? Who are the horses' asses?
Oh, boy. I think Reed would probably fall in that category.
Doug P. Reed.
Okay.
I mean, but you know that.
I've heard that. I don't know it. But
I thought you spent time with him at Napoli.
No, I never met the guy.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, nobody's really bad when you're actually in the round. It's just stuff that's done, like, on the practice ground or in the lunchroom or where, that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
What about Chris DeMarco?
So I think I texted in when you were, you know, worried about Chris DeMarco. You said Chris DeMarco choked in the 05 Masters, which was
he did not choke. No, I knew somebody. Choked, and Tiger choked actually.
He tried to, but he ended up winning. So I was actually, it's funny. I was in the locker room with DeMarco like right after that article came out, and I know everybody just blew him up because what he said, but I don't care who you are, whatever business you're in, doesn't everybody want to raise? I mean, who doesn't want to raise for their work?
You do, but you're saying Saudi, give us money. You're giving it to the big tour. Give us money. We deserve money.
Well, I don't know if he said we deserve it. He said, you know, it'd be nice if they bought the tour, which, you know, what player? Plus, Tiger's going to come out there in 2 years on that tour, and the money's going to go up anyway.
Oh, you think he'll play that regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he can ride the cart.
Oh, great. Yeah. I just didn't know if he would
I think he would. Oh, I think Tiger, he wants to play. He loves competition, right?
Yeah.
And he knows all those guys. He's friends with all those guys. He knows he can probably beat all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And he can ride the cart, and that protects against that leg.
Yeah,
and
God bless. That'll be great.
That's why he wants to compete, man.
That's awesome.
I get it.
I actually listened to that interview, and it was on with Colton Ost and Drew Stoles, and that was such a minor part of the interview. They didn't even react to it. He was like, it sounded like he was kind of joking, but that's one of the things about social media. And then people do interviews, and then the producer or one of the hosts, it doesn't have to be a producer, takes what they consider to be the most engagement ready clip,
right,
and then it's put out without the context, and then it becomes a whole thing. And so when I listened to the interview, I'm like, they didn't even call attention to it because it kind of sounded like he was joking, but whatever. I mean, maybe 2% of our audience even knows what the hell we're talking about. It's neither here nor there. For the purpose of keeping things moving here on today's program, we have Jeremy Rutherford at the top of the hour. The Munganast Daily Fantasy Sports rosters, Jackson will be on, the Instagram account, I gather?
Yeah, I can throw him up there.
Okay, I've seen him up there in the past. Let me tell people about Longo Biggs, LONGOBIGGS. That's Longo Biggs. Last week, they were in a trial. They take cases to trial. They're not just looking to settle. If you're injured in a car accident and you need an attorney, you need the best one you can find. If any of my family members or friends are ever injured in an accident, I want them to call Doug Biggs and CeeDee Longo at Longo Biggs Injury Law. For nearly 10 years, Doug Biggs and CeeDee Longo have been recognized as the top 40 under 40 personal injury lawyers by Super Lawyers, the National Academy of Personal Injury Attorneys, and the National Trial Lawyers Association. They're not the churn-and-burn type of law firm. With Doug and CeeDee, you won't be just another file lost in the shuffle. If you have questions about your case, you're going to talk to Doug or CeeDee personally, and they will handle every aspect of your case the entire way. They'll get to know you, and you will get to know them. Doug and CeeDee are local, friendly, professional, and most importantly, excellent personal injury lawyers. Go online at longobiggs.com, longobiggs.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Jackson, can you tell us about Circa?
Sure, Tim. We're just getting done talking about the Masters, but I got Circa has some wonderful Masters odds better than some of the competitors in the state of Illinois. You can download the Circus Sports app right now in Illinois. If you live here in St. Louis, Missouri, just make the short drive across the river. Or if you already live in Illinois, sign up. We're looking ahead towards the Masters this week. Maybe you like Scottie Scheffler to continue his run of dominance. Circa has him at plus 465 to win it all. Competitors, plus 400. You're already making some more money. I said Joaquin Neiman. I really like him. Circa has him at plus 3,200, competitors plus 2,500. That's material difference. That's a huge difference if he is to make a run. And Xander Schauffele, who Iggy put on his team, Circa has him at plus 1,650, while competitors have him at plus 1,400. You're just not going to find better lines and tighter money line splits than at Circa. Download the Circa Sports app now in the great state of Illinois and make a little cash this weekend on the Masters.
There it is. Circa, wonderful sponsor of TMA, just like Mentality. If you are dealing with decreased mental acuity, attention span, and stress, it can cause focus issues on even the most simple tasks. Belly fat, feeling bloated, a lack of lean muscle and tone that used to be easy to get rid of or maintain. Mentality is for you, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. And even if you've tried testosterone before, not everyone understands the blood chemistry in men's bodies. Mentality can help. The normal range for testosterone is large. If you've been to a doctor and they told you that you were normal without understanding the range or testing your free testosterone, it was not fully looked at, come get checked with us at Mentality. LowTUSA.com. That's Mentality. LowTUSA.com. Doug, last night you saw a Jim Dandy, a Shunny Gray, went out there and dealt 64 pitches and somehow was able to get through five innings on the hard pitch count of 65. He was engaged in a pitcher's duel with one of the best in the business, Zach Wheeler. He would have loved to have stayed in there, and he certainly could have, but he handed the ball over to the Cardinal bullpen, and they took care of business from there, including Jojo Romero. How do you do, Jojo Romero?
Yeah, the last three relievers they brought in all looked very good.
Helsley.
Kittredge and Helsley, and, yeah.
And
Livator couldn't find the plate, but the other three.
Nolan Gorman with the home run, and the Cardinals beat the Phillies, so kind of an inverse of what you might have thought would happen. They beat Wheeler, and they lose the night before, but the Cardinals have split the series with the Phillies. One day game left if they can get it in with rain today, and then the day off before heading out to Arizona. What did you see last night from Sonny Gray?
Well, I couldn't see a lot because I was sitting way down there on the first row or along the left field line. So, you know, I had a couple poles and a couple people in front. I couldn't. I'm sure you saw much more on TV than what I saw being at the game. But the Cardinals do play very good defense. They play outstanding defense. And if you can do that and just get decent pitching, if they just hit a little bit, they still don't hit much. They're middle of the order guys.
Need to get going.
Goldschmidt and Arenado both look lost at the plate.
Well, Romero's effort to get out of that bases loaded jam was actually impressive.
Oh, it was like, outstanding.
Serious sack.
Kay Schwarber.
Well, if Gray pitches anything close to that in most of his starts and they found their ace, and that's a huge lift for them. That's a huge lift. It's going to be tough to keep up with the Pirates, though.
The Pirates are on a heater,
Doug. 9-3 now.
Beware of the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were in a spot to make it 10-2, but they blew it yesterday.
Before the game, we were down there at the bullpen. We wanted to watch Sonny Gray warm up. And there's only a sprinkling of fans in the park at that point. And he's down there stretching and getting ready to start throwing. And somebody right next to us, right along the railing, starts yelling, "Nice hairline, Sonny! You need Rogaine! My grandfather's got better hair than you!" It's just screaming at him like this. And I turn around, it's a guy in a Phillies jersey. Just thinks he's the funniest thing in the world.
Nice. I assume he was tall, dark, and handsome himself.
And you know, he was like 50 years old. He wasn't some smart-aleck kid.
How many Twitter accounts do you have?
I have no idea.
Oh, I can guarantee I can guess the avatar.
Should have brought your tough tone.
A dog.
You're sad.
And he had another guy with him, 50-something, too. Just thought they were the funniest guys in the world screaming
well,
like
that's
dinner.
What happens when things have gone well for you for the first 50 years.
I guess.
Let me guess. American patriot, God-fearing.
Probably.
I don't know about that. What I saw was Philadelphia. He just had Philadelphia written right across his forehead. I'm obnoxious, and I'll say anything I want to say, and I don't care who knows about it.
Well, tough and cool.
Yeah.
Very
it just struck
tough.
Me that that's one thing you usually don't see at Busch Stadium is people acting like idiots. And I think
really, you didn't hear the
I don't see a lot of that.
You didn't hear the Ric Flair woo for 3 years? Oh, well, God, there's nothing more obnoxious at Busch Stadium than the woo.
But that's not really getting on somebody. That's not standing up cursing and screaming and yelling obnoxious things at players.
I'd rather be known for that than the wave and helmet nachos.
Everybody still does the waves. Almost every stadium in baseball still does the wave.
And they don't do bobbleheads like St. Louis does bobbleheads,
no.
Man.
I'm just saying, I think a part of the success of the Cardinals having these big crowds is it is somewhat family-friendly and people generally behave themselves.
Well, last night was the smallest crowd in a non-COVID year in Busch Stadium history. How about that? Did you notice that?
I noticed they announced 31,000 right. something, but it looked like there's maybe 21,000 something there.
Yeah, that was the smallest crowd. In Busch Stadium, this Busch Stadium's history, which opened up in 2000.
Really? Smallest crowd in history?
And it happened in front of the smallest night game crowd in a non-COVID year ever at Busch Stadium 3, 31,972.
Well, so the weather was perfect. Yeah. Tuesday night in April, it probably didn't sell a lot of tickets before the game.
Well, there were Tuesday nights in April in 2006, 7, 8, yeah. 9, and so on and so forth. And what it's saying is people are either disengaged with the franchise or disengaged with the game, and I keep going back to the television situation, and you're starting to see the domino effect of it. I just think that that plays a role in the lack of engagement slash app and in what you're seeing with regards to apathy. Could be off, but that's my theory.
And even though they've got some really good players, a few of them, I don't think there's any that really captures the imagination
of everybody.
If
Victor Scott would go off, I think
that would
he
help.
Could.
Yeah.
They have no personalities.
They don't seem to have any rah-rah personalities.
And I think Ed talked about, you know, that being a good thing, and I think I would counter that being, I think it's a, I mean, Nolan Gorman doesn't really smile. Jordan Walker seemed to be a fun guy, but none of these are trying to, are engaging the fan base.
Yeah.
I love having young guys on in the roster. I can't wait to see them develop, but they are pretty milquetoast in terms of not only on play, but pre- and post-game interview, there's not a lot of fun stuff going on in the dugout.
Not a lot of personality.
It's lost a lot of pizzazz with the Marmol era.
You just said it, Plowhawk. Like, it's baseball. It's supposed to be fun. It doesn't look like they're having fun, right? Like, I remember when I would caddy for Nagel, he would always say to me on the first tee box, let's go have some fun, right? Like, that's when people perform their best, when they're actually enjoying themselves and what they do, right? But it just doesn't, certainly not last year and this year so far. I know they're a little better this year, but have some fun, guys. Smile a little bit.
Like, I've seen happier faces on like a 4 straight days of like all days at Burger King working than Nolan Gorman did when he hit his home run. Like, it just showed me a little something.
Yeah.
Boy, the cat. I mean, I don't know if anybody watched the post game interview on the field with the cat. The cat had. Did you see it?
Oh, probably. I didn't.
God, the cat had. It was like it reminded me of the Troy Gloss spring training interview we oftentimes cite. I'm like, wow, boy.
Can you give me more?
God. Holy
crap. Body language is important. It can be a window to what's happening inside, how much energy you've got and enthusiasm you've got. You know, even when Pujols was in his heyday, if somebody else hit the home run, he was a top step guy, first guy to greet you coming into the dugout, clapping his hands, slapping people on the back. I just think they need maybe a little bit more of that. Maybe that's a completely shallow way to look at it. But I kind of like to have some rah-rah guys that look like they're shaking it up a little bit.
I'm with you. And honestly, I bash the pepper grinder and all the bits, but like we kind of need Newt Barr and that pepper grinder in the dugout just to get a little
maybe he'll help
life.
With that.
Remember when they splashed water on your face after a home run? Like all those things are quirky. I'm not saying it's going to get fans in the stands, but I think it gets you to care about it a little bit more.
Yeah. I think there's probably something to that.
It might be since Wainwright left, and Wainwright did a lot of that.
All of it,
and
almost.
If the players see, well, if our veteran's doing that, you know, it's okay to do it. Now with nobody in there and you got these, you know, mush faces that are down to business.
Mush faces.
Arenado, no expression. Arenado, Goldschmidt, they do their work. And the young players are afraid probably to do it because they don't have like a Wainwright in there to say, hey, if he's doing it, then it's okay. Let's have fun.
Could be something to that.
I think I actually think there's the tone is set by either the highest profile player or the veteran, and oftentimes it's an overlap there. Because we were in the Cardinal clubhouse when McGuire was the alpha, and that set a tone in the clubhouse, and it wasn't necessarily a good one. He's a different guy now, but back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was not a pleasant experience.
I mean, remember you had Carlos, Joe Kelly, I mean, you had Ozuna, I mean, Pham. There was a ton of personalities in that locker room. not saying that was a great team either way, but fans were showing up. I mean, you had the neon sleeves. You had a little bit of a celebration. Like I said, you had that dugout atmosphere. And it literally looks like they just punched in their clock to like a double at Costco. Like they just started. And like come on, dude.
Well, for sure, you'd rather have good players than a bunch of comedians out there.
I think there's a fine line between the two.
When they assemble the team, I'm not sure they take into account a lot.
Take a personality test.
Yeah, do we have a Rex Hudler here who's going to keep everybody laughing?
Oh, the Wonder Dog.
Yeah.
You'll be laughing if you go to Ted Drew's, Doug. A St. Louis tradition since 1929. Ted Drew's Frozen Custard on Chippewa is open for its 95th season. 95 years. Four generations of family serving St. Louisans that famous frozen custard. Family-owned and operated, Ted Drew's remains a family-owned and operated business founded on the motto of our business is service, and they are committed to providing exceptional service in a warm, welcoming atmosphere to customers of all ages. That's why when you walk up there and you see the line and you go, oh my goodness, and then somehow you have your Ted Drew's frozen custard within a matter of minutes, that's because of the service at Ted Drew's. Whether it's a hot summer day or a chilly evening, Ted Drew's frozen custard is the perfect treat for any occasion. It's a refreshing way to cool off in the summer and a comforting indulgence during the colder months. Ted Drew's, and they also have the gift shop right there on Chippewa and Ted Drew's online at teddrews.com. Ted Drew's frozen custard, it really is good, guys and gals. I made reference to the blown save in Pittsburgh and how Pittsburgh native David Bednar was booed off the mound. What do we have here, Jackson? Because you wrote, who's cutting onions?
So Rowdy Tellez. So David Bednar blew a save yesterday against the Tigers.
Four runs in an inning, Doug.
Well, it happens.
Pirates faithful booed him.
Well, they're used to winning baseball.
Yeah, Martin Perez should have got that win.
Martin Perez take.
I needed it, you know.
Is this a fantasy thing? Mm-hmm. Got it, okay. I didn't know why.
Yeah, so David Bednar, he blew the save. As he walked off, they were booing him. Rowdy Tellez, first baseman for the Pirates, in the media scrum in the locker room, came to the defense of the closer.
Okay.
Should go put on air. This is the pride of Pittsburgh to everybody. We don't do that out here. We're a good team. We're winning for a reason. We're going to get our man back on track, but what happened today is, I think, unacceptable, and we as a group in Pittsburgh got to be better. It's an all-star for a reason, and we just have to be better. So that being said, two-time all-star.
David, I know it's a little emotional. What does it mean to have your guys like that behind you right now?
No, it's huge. Obviously, there's peaks and valleys through every season, and we're going to get over this. It's definitely tough, but seeing these guys have my back, it's huge.
Who's cutting onions?
I got to be honest. Can we not just boo... Can we not just boo?
You shouldn't boo your hometown team, no.
After giving up four runs?
No, unless if they don't try, if there's no effort there, that's one thing. If they just give up a hit, you don't boo them?
One hit? I'm talking four runs.
You don't boo your guys.
I'm booing the hell out of that dude.
Why?
Because he has Martin Perez on the, what's the name of the team? My team sucks.
No, Michael Gersh.
You switched the name to Michael Gersh.
Yeah. Well, that's how they're playing right now.
I don't think you ever boo your hometown team unless they're not trying.
I boo.
If a guy walks down to first base on a ground ball, boo him. But if a guy gives up a home run, he didn't mean to do that. He's trying.
I love how he says, this is Pittsburgh, we don't do that. Are they known for not booing?
Well, they're known for not necessarily many people being there, so therefore... That's one of the issues. The Pirates, for the record, Doug, as you said, it's going to be tough to catch them. Mm-hmm. They're 9-3 and have the highest winning percentage in the National League. And the National League Central, and everybody was talking about how tough a division this is going to be.
Right. Who says? Yeah, where are they now?
The Pirates are 750 winning percentage. Brewers, 700 winning percentage. Cubs, after blowing a monster lead two nights ago in San Diego, bounced back to win last night. They have a 636 winning percentage. The Reds, a 545 winning percentage. And in the cellar, your St. Louis Cardinals. But they're a 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought? I thought there was a chance that maybe one team would be above 500.
Yeah.
But look at this. Where are all the National League Central haters?
They're running away and hiding.
Now,
I guess based on who the Cardinals have played, if you could come out of that 500, you'd probably take it. I mean, the Phillies were a World Series team. The Marlins were a playoff team. The Dodgers are the best team. You go 500 against those first four teams, I think you take that.
Phillies, Marlins, and Padres all under 500 at the moment. But again, they played the Cardinals 3-3 and two times. So, you know, if you're going to lose two of three, obviously it's going to play a role in what your record is at this particular point in the season. So, anyway, there it is. Fun facts for no one tell in Pittsburgh last night or yesterday afternoon.
I just don't know that you should be crying about it.
I don't understand why there was that's the part I get a guy sticking up for his teammate, especially a guy who has a track record of Bednar. He's not a household name, even though he's been an all-star, just because if you're, you know, playing for the Pirates, it's tough to be a household name.
And you got to have an all-star somewhere.
It's exactly right. But I don't know. I didn't see. Jackson, did you see the clip? What do you know what was going on that made it emotional?
I don't know. I just like, you know, when a guy's down from Pittsburgh, you know, playing for his hometown team, I'm sure this is his dream to play for the Pirates, even though, you know, not the greatest of organizations, but to play in your hometown and to get booed like that really probably stings real bad, and to have your first baseman right there with you. I don't know. I really like that kind of stuff.
No, there's.
Well, that's when the teammates are supposed to step up, when you've done something bad. If you hit the game-winning home run, you don't need your teammate patting you on the back. You know you did well. It's when you blow it. That's when you need somebody to have your back.
What about when you are running really hard, but not hard enough for the manager in the third game of the season?
When you get traded and now lead the major leagues in home runs.
Tyler O'Neill went over the green monster yesterday.
He cannot stop hitting.
He's got like six. I think he leads the entire major league in home
his run. OBP is like 1,500. Like, it's insane.
And Aroldis Garcia leads the American League in RBIs.
Rosarena having a, you know, he's a top 50 player.
Ouch.
Also, Radetella is a good earner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
That means he's Jewish.
Correct.
Okay. And I love his look and style.
So hold on. The soundbite was only included because the
No. Just a little back of the baseball.
I want Irish guys talk. I want Rory McIlroy. Actually, he's from the North. We don't recognize the North. Yeah, the North's problematic.
North side.
I would have thought Rowdy Tellez would be an Hispanic gentleman.
He is.
There are a lot of. I didn't know there were Hispanic Jewish folks. I guess there are.
He, like I said,
this is an educational program.
It really is.
It always has been at its core. We're going to have Jeremy Rutherford joining us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, which is presented to you by Schaefer Door Company. JR brought to you by Mark Hanna. And send your emails in for our design, air, heating, and cooling email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Don't forget to transform your story at the Illinois Recovery Center. At Illinois Recovery Center, the team believes in the strength of every individual's journey to recovery. Whether you're taking the first step or continuing your path, the IRC's dedicated team is here to support you. Well, why choose Illinois Recovery Center? Well, they have a holistic healing approach, expert care and guidance, safe and welcoming environment, tailored programs for lasting recovery, top-notch facility, and accommodation as well. The IRC builds the unwavering determination to thrive beyond the shadows of the past. Whether you've made the life-saving choice to seek help on your own, or you want to be prepared for the other end of an addiction intervention with a loved one, the chance to learn about addiction recovery is available to you at the Illinois Recovery Center in Swansea. If you or someone you know wants more information about the Illinois Recovery Center, please call 888-472-9559 or visit IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com. Design, air, heating, and cooling email today at 9:45. Jeremy Rutherford on the other side of our top of the hour commercial break. Jackson and I going down the hallway and dealing with a situation. It's called Balloon Party on 101 ESPN from 10 to 11. There is your captain's log for the next couple of hours here with TMA and 101 ESPN. It is the morning after, presented to you by Brian and Crouppen.